All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got a drawing for the leather jacket from U.S. Wings, and that's going to be in probably around 45 minutes after the hour. Sergeant Hack from U.S. Wings is going to be on the program then to talk about the jacket and also to talk about another program that we're going to be offering through U.S. Wings here on Veterans Radio to give you another opportunity to win one of their great leather jackets. We've also got a couple of tickets that we're going to be giving away to the Detroit Red Wings game on Monday, December 2nd, against the New York Islanders. And they've been donated to us by the Fisher House here in Ann Arbor. And so we're going to be having a little contest on that a little bit later on and to make sure that you get those tickets. I just had to go, just ran down the hallway. I got to go start working out a little bit more. I had to run down the hallway to get my headphones. Can tell we're really organized today here on Veterans Radio. Joining me in the studio today, since it is our benefits program, is one of our local experts, Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Services. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Dale. It's always good to be in the studio with you.
It is, and we want to make sure that you're out there, that you give us a call at 734-822-1600 if you have any questions about VA benefits. So make sure you do that. And joining me on the line is our representative, retired Air Force General Carol Ann Fassone. She is representing Legal Help for Veterans. Carol Ann, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Dale and Michael, and to all our listeners, a blessed, happy Thanksgiving.
It's the same to you. Same to you.
Absolutely. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. It's a fun time of the year.
It is. Yes. This is a great time of the year. We get to see friends and family. Let's see. I got to go through my sponsors here to make sure that we thank them. We really do want to thank them. It's of course, we have Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans disability claims. For more information, you can go to their website. That's Legal Help for Veterans. Or give them a call at 800-693-4800. Or actually give us a call today. Maybe we can answer your question about benefits here on Veterans Radio. U.S. Wings manufactures the finest leather jackets in the world. They are a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, you can go to their website, that's uswings.com, or give them a call at 800-650-0659. And, of course, we want to thank our local veteran service organizations here in the Ann Arbor area, American Legion Post 46, Veterans of Foreign War Post 423, and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Post number 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's been a busy week here on Veterans Radio, and I have two quick things I want to get out there to you about it. We have started up an online store, I guess you could call it. It's called our little PX thing on our website where you can get Veterans Radio gear, hats, shirts, cups, and all those different types of things. So we encourage you to go to veteransradio.net and click on the icon there of our exchange. And the other thing is that as we're approaching Giving Monday, or Giving Tuesday, I think it is, I'm sorry, that we are also in a fundraising mode, if you will. we have had people that have committed to donating $2,000 to Veterans Radio if we can get if we can match those funds. So we would really appreciate it if you could go again to the Veterans Radio website and click on the Donate Buddy Money logo there. We can get that extra funds because we're trying to do a bunch more things going into the year 2020, and we just need your help to do it. So we hope that you're enjoying Veterans Radio. If you have any questions or some programs that you'd like to add to our repertoire, I guess you could say, give us a contact. Just send me an email to dale@veteransradio.net, and I will get back to you. We just got some music. We're going to start doing a couple of musical things also again in the new year. With some of our other forms of social media that are out there. So we're pretty excited about that. Let's see. What else is on my list? Oh. I got to do this one right away. Excuse me. All right. I just got an email this morning about a scam that they're going after veterans with. And this I thought was really kind of important to bring up with everybody out there, especially you veterans. And this is where people are calling us pretending that they are part of the Veterans Administration, and they are not. So let me give you the warning that I got today from the Veterans Benefit Chair here in Michigan, and it came from the Tucson, Arizona, Chapter 106 of the Vietnam Veterans of America. It says, spread the word about this VA's veteran scam. It says, here's the details. Veterans, beware. There's a new scam sweeping the country targeting U.S. veterans. This one involves the use of new telephonic technology. Michael and I were talking about this a little earlier. And a well-orchestrated cast of scam artists who mimic VA affairs culture. Unfortunately, the scam has already ripped off thousands of veterans. Don't be the next victim. Let me tell you what they do. The scam uses this sophisticated telephonic technology that imitates the VA operating signatures. Thus, your caller ID will say Department of Veterans Affairs, and it gives a phone number, 1-800-827-1000, which is evidently not the correct number. From what I understand, I'll get to that when I get to the second page. The second part of the scam involves scam artists pretending to be VA personnel. The scam artists are using scripted material to mimic the culture of VA personnel by implementing processes that would be used when a veteran contacts the VA. Most veterans are getting the following message. These are in quotes. It says, hello, Mr. Smith. This is John from the VA. I'm contacting you because the VA is reaching out to veterans to ensure the accuracy of their records with us. Do you have a minute to go over your records at the VA? The veteran will say, oh, sure, why not? Scam artist, before I get started, thank you for your service. No problem. Mr. Smith, can you verify which branch of the service you served? The Army. Okay, thank you. Can you verify your current address? Gives the address. Okay, great. Can you verify your birthday? Now they're getting a little bit more detailed than what they're asking for. Can you please verify your last compensation payment amount? Hang up at this point. Hang up at the beginning. At this point, if the veterans provide his information and gives an amount, the scam artists are using another script that eventually leads to asking a veteran to verify their Social Security number. If the veteran refuses to give that information, the scam artist informs the veterans that he or she needs to be transferred to the finance department. And then the scam continues. They say the scam artist goes, hi, this is Mike from the finance department. How are you? I'm okay. We're reaching out to veterans to ensure the accuracy of their information on file of the VA. We want to make sure nothing happens to your current or future payments from the VA. Is that okay? We need to verify your VA number that's on file, so on and so forth. This is, be really careful out there, folks. These people are getting more and more sophisticated. Michael and I were talking earlier about our caller ID showed up that we were calling ourselves last week. And so just be really careful. There was another scam that is going on. This is an older one from the Veterans Choice Program, where someone was calling and it would show up again as Department of Veterans Affairs on your phone, and they would offer you a $100 rebate if you provided your credit card number. Don't do it. Phone line does not state the caller has reached in mind the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So watch out. They're out there and they're trying to get us, and they're trying to get everybody all the time anyway. But be very careful of these filings. You probably get this notification of the latest scam will probably come from your local VSO in an email blast. I know that's how I got ours from our local one here. So be careful, folks. That's all we want you to do. Don't let these people get a hold of your information. As you know, anytime anybody calls, do not give out any information over the phone. The VA does not do that. Is that not right?
That's correct. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs will not call you to verify any information. And if anyone has ever tried to call the toll-free number, which, by the way, is 1-800-827-1000, you know exactly how difficult it is to even navigate through that process to get a hold of a human being to do something for you, such as change your direct deposit. And if you're doing that, they take you through a litany of questions that are not as open-ended as these types of questions where they're gathering personally identifiable information, but where you're providing the information to them to verify that you are who you are so that they can work with you to give you access to the information in your file. So the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs actually protects your information, and they will never call you for anything with the exception of potentially a compensation and pension examination, where you should be already waiting for that phone call from either the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs medical centers or the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system. They have two different types. The VA has either healthcare systems or they have medical centers. By the way, it's important to mention that the VA Ann Arbor is a healthcare system. The Detroit facility is a medical center. Saginaw is a medical center. Battle Creek is a medical center. And Iron Mountain is a medical center.
What's the difference?
So there are certain types of services that the healthcare systems provide that the medical centers do not.
Okay.
And then it's based on the types of services they provide as well as their funding. So the VA Ann Arbor is a lot larger than, say, for instance, a medical center like Saginaw or Battle Creek.
Okay.
So now the other thing that veterans are probably aware of now within at least the last 4 or 5 years is that not only will the VA medical center or the VA healthcare systems compensation and pension exam section call you for an examination associated with a claim that you filed, but the VA is also using contractors such as QTC, which is Quality Time Customer, VES, or Veterans Evaluation Services. And then there's another organization, at least here in Michigan, that they use, and that's called LHI. And LHI is Logistics Health Incorporated. These organizations are outbased in other states. So VES is out of Houston. LHI is in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And QTC is outbased in Diamond Bar, California. Yet they have affiliates within their network here in Michigan, where they will actually contact you to set up your compensation and pension examination. They were scaring a lot of veterans by calling them first, and veterans mm-hmm. not even knowing that the VA had hired contractors to help them with their compensation and pension exams. So they've changed their tactics a little bit. What they do now is they mail out a letter with a packet announcing, hey, we're the contractors that the VA has hired to set you up for compensation and pension examination. Here's the date and time that we've got. Please call us to confirm your availability. Okay. So they've done it in the reverse. So there will be telephonic interaction between veterans and these contractors or the VA's compensation and pension sections at their medical centers or healthcare systems. But essentially, the Veterans Benefits Administration will never call you to start mm-hmm. asking you questions to verify your accounts or any of the information because they've already got it. So there's no need to call you to verify, oh, Smith, you served in the Army? Oh, okay, can you verify the last compensation? You paid me. You should know.
I would hope so. Somebody ought to know.
Right. So, yes, please be aware of that and beware of that. What Dale and I were talking about, he mentioned that his phone called him last week, and I said, well, my phone called me 3 times. And what it is these these scam artists, these fishers, they're also these companies that are trying to, you know, offer you a reduced credit card rate or a new car warranty or whatever. And they have you in their robo-dialer, and it just dials random numbers. And you know these phone calls, they come across your phone, and they're from all over the country. You get all these odd area codes and locations that come across the caller IDs. Well, some of these organizations buy a software product that allows them to do what's called spoofing. And what they do is the software changes the caller ID on the incoming call so that instead of it their number and their organization or their location coming across your phone, it actually brings up your telephone number and your information. So it looks like you're calling yourself. And again, it's just another tactic for these people to get you to answer your phone and start trying to get information from you. So just ignore them.
Ignore them. Yeah. This article that I got from the Vietnam Veterans of America actually was sent out initially by the chief of police in Tucson, Arizona. So it's against the law. So what we got to do is catch them somehow. And maybe it's a job we can put veterans on. Let's locate these people. But I'm sure they're not local anyway. So anyway, be very careful with those things going on out there. Again, just to remind everybody, please give us a call. If you have a question about benefits or anything pertaining to the VA, you can give us a call here on Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. We've gotten, at the end of the program, we're going to be giving away that U.S. Wings Top Gun flight jacket. That's just awesome. And we got a couple of responses here by email. I just wanted to talk about where some of these people came from, which is very exciting to me to know that people are listening. We've got Tyler Raymer down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Robert Eggleston in Connecticut, Ohio, William Steinle in Lewiston, Pennsylvania, our good friend Vance McCrum down in Milan, Michigan. I got a Carlos Wagner II from Jersey City, New Jersey, Oxford, Alabama, Cloversville, New York, Cornelia, Georgia. So make sure you stick around. And I think what we're going to do is I'm going to give the fifth person that calls in today at 734-822-1600 is we're going to give away those tickets to the Red Wings game. So number five caller, get out there and start dialing. I hate to, it's not that I don't want to go to the game, but I think there's a conflict of interest if I try to use the tickets to go. And I don't want to get, I don't want Fisher House to get in any trouble along those lines. So give us a call here at 734-822-1600.
Hey, Dale.
Hello.
Just a question. I'm out here, or a comment. Going back to the scam and the issues, and I really love the discussion. Another thing that the veteran could do is if they have a representative, say Legal Hub for Veterans, a veteran service organization, a county counselor, we sometimes get the heads up or the letter along with the veteran that an exam is going to be scheduled, and we call our veterans right away and say, hey, it might be a contracted service. We understand they're going to try to schedule this. So that's another thing that the veteran can do to make sure or authenticate sometimes the caller, but don't give your information.
I agree. That's a good point. Most of us in the business, we're monitoring the Veterans Benefits Management System very just about every day. And when I see that an exam request was sent, I know which contractor they sent the exam request. I know who sent it, which regional office sent the request, or if they send it to a hospital. And I call my veterans and I say, hey, listen, you're going to be getting contacted by VES, LHI, QTC, or the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System to schedule your compensation and pension exam. And then what I, and it's the reason why we do that is number one, to give them that heads up and provide them that customer service that they need from us. But more importantly, we don't know what the date and time of the exam is. So we need them to call us and let us know the date and the time, because then we'll start monitoring the Veterans Benefits Management System to see the results of those exams uploaded and kind of get an idea of which way our claims are going to go, whether we're going to have some problems because the examiner didn't agree, didn't diagnose something, didn't give the right opinion. And we can start beginning the process of strategizing how to overcome that even before the decision's made. So that's a good point, General Fasson. I really appreciate you mentioning that.
Hey, we've got a call.
And you know, Michael, you just brought up another awesome point, and then Dale, I'll let you head on, is in seeing that, sometimes we have headed off, and I know you have too, if the wrong examiner has been scheduled.
Yes.
The VA has certain rules for different diagnoses that only certain professionals should be doing the examination.
Absolutely.
And we could head that off right before the poor veteran goes through the exam, and then it turns out not to be appropriate, and they have to go back again. So that's just another point.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line. It's Ed from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Ed, welcome to Veterans Radio. What's your question?
Hi, Dale. Thanks, guys. I'm a veteran. I was from 72 to 76 in the Air Force, and I've never really given it much thought, but when I retire, would it make more sense for me to go with, am I eligible for VA medical benefits?
Well, that's a good question, Ed. Actually, it's a question that's probably best answered by the Health Eligibility Center. And it's real easy to do an application for VA health care benefits, which is a VA Form 1010-EZ. There's one that's done. You can do it online, or my recommendation is that you do it at the hospital, because they have an eligibility and enrollment section that can sit down with you and talk to you about whether or not VA healthcare is going to be available to you. So they, if you have service disabled, service-related disabilities, then the VA hospital is going to be available to you without having to provide income information. If you're not in that situation, then the lower priority group, such as priority group 7, uses a means test to determine whether or not the VA is going to provide health care, number one, or whether they're going to assess co-payments. And
okay, you just answered my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so, you know, you may be above the means right now because you're working, but the minute you retire and your income goes below that threshold that is established, and for our area, because Washtenaw County is a high mortgage, high rent area, we have a higher means than, say, for instance, the Detroit VA Medical Center or even the Battle Creek VA Medical Center or Saginaw. We have one of the highest means, which means that the VA allows us to have more income to determine whether or not they're going to provide health care for us.
Okay. I just heard at one point that anybody who was discharged before a certain date, and I can't remember what the date was eligible for VA, but anybody after that date wasn't. But I didn't know to what degree. So now I understand that.
So what I think people are talking about is September of 1980, the VA imposed what's called a minimum service requirement. So prior to September of 1980, if you served, say, for instance, 6 months, you're eligible for VA health care. Now they have a minimum service requirement of 24 months or more. So if you had an honorable discharge and you're below the means, but you only had 18 months service, then the VA will not be able to provide health care for you.
But it's still means tested. That explains a lot.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you for your service.
That's an interesting question. I think that there's a misunderstanding out there that some people feel that just because they were in the military, but they don't. We can't get enough people to go and sign up for their benefits even if they're not entitled, at least to register with the hospital.
Well, it's always good to go through the enrollment process because, again, and we always encourage, like when Brian's here, Brian's always encouraging people to go through the enrollment process or to reapply, because you may have been denied 5 years ago when your income was higher.
Right.
And believe it or not, the means – it goes up each year with cost of living. So the means, let's say, for instance, for a veteran with a spouse or a two-household family was $36,000, and the veteran made $40,000. Well, that was too much, so health care was not available. Now it's $43,000. Veteran's still making $40,000. So now health care, he would be or she would be eligible for VA health care.
Okay.
Depending that making sure, again, the minimum service requirement for those who served after September of 1980 has to be more than 24 months or 24 continuous months.
24 months. All right. Because I can remember a long time ago it was 180 days, something like that. Yeah.
There was one. Prior to September of 1980, they didn't have a minimum service requirement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got about 3 minutes to go out there, folks, so got to give us a call here. That's only call number one. I still need four more calls for somebody to win those tickets to the Red Wings game. That number is 734-822-1600. We've got our final list of entries for the U.S. Wings jacket, and we've got over 600 of them, so that's pretty exciting. I've got a lot of names in here. We've got Charleston, South Carolina. We've got Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Saline, Florida, New York, Whitmore Lake. Oh, I know that person. be careful when I do those things. Anyway, so we need you to give us a call. Also, if you have any questions, I want to talk a little bit more after we come out of the break about some of the other benefits that may be entitled, that the families may be entitled to. I know we've talked about this in the past, but I got another question just the other day about from a veteran who is 100% disabled, but he is concerned about his wife getting benefits if he passes away from an unrelated disease in less than that 10-year window that they provide. So before we get into that, let's I'll try to make that a more understandable question as everybody's looking at me from there. The other thing, I maybe somebody wants to jump in on this, is as a more of a political issue than anything else, is there was an article in the New York Times today, an editorial, and it was talking about President Trump pardoning of the three military veterans, two who had been convicted of war crimes and the other one who had not but had been demoted. And so I'm asking, what do you think about that? I think that's an important question. I'm just I'm concerned about it because we did a program many years ago. I can't remember it. I have to look it up again, about ethics and morality in war. And it is something that we've all been taught. And I know all the officer people that I know have been taught that there are morals and ethics in war, and there are rules and there are laws and so forth. And I'm a little bit concerned about the administration getting into the military rules and regulations and so forth, and how does that affect everything. And I'm not a lawyer, so maybe I should have had Mr. Falzone on to talk about this a little bit later on. Well, we're coming up on the news right now, so we're taking a break. Give us a call, 734-822-1600. Talk about benefits. Talk about that editorial. What are your thoughts out there? We'll be right back after the news. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Donald Moyer threw himself on a grenade to save the lives of his comrades. Details after this. Moyer's platoon was committed to attack and secure terrain stubbornly defended by a numerically superior North Korean force in well-fortified positions. Advancing up the rocky hill, the leading elements came under intense automatic weapons, small arms, and grenade fire, wounding the platoon leader and platoon sergeant. Moyer rushed to the head of the faltering column, assumed command, and urged the men forward. Inspired by Moyer's unflinching courage, the troops responded, but as they reached the final approaches to the rugged crest of the hill, enemy fire increased in volume and intensity, and the fanatical foe showered the platoon with grenades. Undaunted, the group forged ahead, and as they neared the top of the hill, the enemy hurled a grenade into their midst. Moyer, fully aware of the odds against him, unhesitatingly threw himself on the grenade, absorbing the full blast of the explosion with his body. Although mortally wounded, Moyer's act saved several of his comrades from death or serious injury.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back on Veterans Radio for part two of our program on VA benefits this Sunday afternoon. And we also want to make sure that people are giving us a call to win the tickets to the Detroit Red Wings. All you got to do is give us a call, 734-822-1600. Caller number 5 will get those tickets. We've only got 2 so far. So come on, get on the phone and get busy. Can even leave us. No, we won't. That's not a joke. I won't go there with that one. We were talking about some of the issues that are going on out there with the VA. And Carol Ann, I just had a question for you. Have you heard anything from the VA changing any benefit requirements or things that, you know, hoops that people need to go through? I know that I was listening to a podcast yesterday about the VA is trying to streamline everything, and sometimes their streamlining is limiting the number of caseworkers and so forth at the VA, and so they're kind of getting this backlog again a little bit with the especially with the mental health services. I don't know if that's the way it is here in Ann Arbor, but this was out west somewhere.
Well, I think the problem that we are experiencing, and I don't know about you, Michael, but, you know, they put out the regulations. You're going to hear within 90 days. You're going to hear, you know, we're going to get you results. And honest to God, that's not happening. And it's putting a lot of fret into our veterans because, you know, they're calling us and, you know, not that we can't defend what we're doing, but it's like, well, the VA says, you know, we're going to get a decision in 90 days. Why aren't you doing that? And why aren't you doing something? And to be honest, we say there's really nothing we can do. We're at their beck and we could advocate for you. And I will be calling in and trying to see why they didn't live up to their 90-day decision. But I'm telling you, that's been a huge issue. That's been a huge issue. And then the other thing that we talked about is now with the National Bank, we had one case last week that it went from Detroit to Atlanta to Muskogee, and now it's back in Baltimore for a decision and a rating. And they don't put on the decision anymore which station it is. So we're having to make multiple phone calls, and that all takes time. So that's what we're experiencing with some of the laws or issues that are going on right now.
Do you think that there are they farming out these claims to outside organizations to evaluate them, or is it, or not evaluate them, I guess, is, I know what you mentioned earlier on about going for our exams that we go to outside agencies now. I mean, that's a conflict of interest if we went to the VA to verify our whatever issue it might be that we have.
No. They're two different issues, Dale. So when we were talking about the exams, the VA has contracted to different companies, and Michael listed them for us in this area. But there's different places around the country that the VA has contracted with. When I just gave you that example, they're not farming out to any outside individuals. You've got the national center, the national bank, and mm-hmm. ROs, regional offices, that let's say could take on another claim. They'll pull it. And so you don't know sometimes where it's going to be evaluated, in which RO. So you're a Detroit or a Michigan veteran, which would make sense. You would stay in Detroit RO, but maybe they're busy with another project. And so another RO, regional office, will pull it. And the example I gave is that once they do one portion of it, they'll put it back into the bank, and another RO will pull it to make the decision. While you're waiting for an exam to come back, they'll put it back in the hopper, and so somebody else will pull it. That has been causing us some issues.
So what General Fasson is talking about is the national work queue. It's mm-hmm. We kind of liken it to an iCloud. And the VA, when they instituted the national work queue, it was to give them the ability to move a claim around electronically to the station that has the capacity to work that claim at that next stage. So in a compensation claim, there the first stage is establishment and control. The second stage is development. The third stage is rating. The fourth stage is award generation. And then the last stage is what they call promulgation. And I think I've made a joke about that before, that mm-hmm. promulgation is just a fancy word that says somebody writes a letter to tell you what the decision was. Yeah. Well, at each one of those five stages, the national work queue, the stations don't actually pull the claim. They get the claim assigned to them by this national work queue. So when it comes to establishment and control, if they say, well, Detroit, based on the number of level of employees that they have, how many claims can they handle and what is their capacity for handling claims to establish claims? And they say, well, that's 120. They transfer Detroit 120 claims, and it's from all over the nation. Then they, when Detroit does establishment and control, yes, it's recalled by the National Work Queue for the National Work Queue to say, all right, which station has capacity to work development? And they go and they say, oh, look at St. Pete, Petersburg, Florida. They've got the capacity to develop 200 claims. They will then transfer 200 claims to the St. Pete Regional Office. And then that's the way it goes through the whole stage of the claim for compensation. It goes in and out of the national work queue as this electronic artificial intelligence makes the decision about where that claim should go next based on which station has capacity. Now, for those who don't have access to the Veterans Benefits Management System, it's a nightmare because e-benefits, like General Fasson, will say to a veteran, your claim should be decided in 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may not be true. That might be an average days pending. They may have some problems with development. They might need to do a subsequent development letter. They might need to go to a different archivist to get records. They may need to schedule additional exams that were not scheduled. So that 90 days, as people are seeing in e-benefits, doesn't typically go according to how these claims are being processed and moved around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been some efficiencies with this national work queue. I've seen a lot of my claims. I'm able to access information that I wasn't able to access before and see where VA employees are making mistakes and even reach out to those VA employees either by secure encrypted VA Outlook account that they've given me, or I can call that person or both. And it's been successful in my advocacy for my veterans, but for people like General Fasson and those who don't have access to the Veterans Benefits Management System, you don't know where your claims are.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be kind of frustrating. Veterans certainly are a whole lot more, unfortunately, out of the loop relative to the information because e-benefits just won't tell you that. It will just say, they even use some very generic descriptions of the status of the claim that are not consistent with the statuses that are used in other software, or even what a VA employee will tell you if you call the national call centers. So I agree. It can be frustrating not knowing where your claim is and what station is handling it.
It's like they're
so they did that. So they did that for pension or compensation claims only.
Yeah.
And then they kept our pension, both non-service connected disability pension for veterans, the survivor's pension for their survivors, dependency indemnity compensation, and burial allowances, those burial benefits. They kept those at the pension management centers, and there were three. One in Philadelphia, one in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and one in St. Paul, Minnesota. So the one in Milwaukee handled Michigan, along with 15 other states, was probably one of the most efficient pension management centers in the nation, and then St. Paul, and then Philly because of where they are in the states that are assigned to them. They were the ones that had a little bit of a backlog. Well, this year in February, the VA decided that they were going to start moving pension claims around in the national work queue. But instead of making them available to 56 different regional offices like they do compensation claims, they're just rotating them around to which one of those three has the capacity. And it literally put the brakes on our pension claims. I mean, like literally, it's almost like they stopped. I've got claims. I go in to check on them that I sent in July and August. They're still sitting in the national work queue, waiting to be assigned to either Philadelphia, Milwaukee, or St. Paul. And yes, as General Fasson said, we have a hotline that we can call in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And a coach will answer and say, well, it's in the national work queue. There's mm-hmm. nothing I can do about it. And they literally can't. They cannot physically. They have no means by which they can go into the national work queue and pull a claim out. Even if we mm-hmm. say, yeah, but I got a 95-year-old surviving spouse who's terminal. And, this claim's been pending since June. You know what their answer is? All of our claimants are 95 or older. All of them are terminal. And so nobody gets a special status anymore for claims processing on those either. So it's a little bit frustrating because we just are not seeing those claims move the way they should. And you would think that with three stations moving these claims around, again, as you said, the VA streamlining things and trying to meet mm-hmm. efficiencies, that by now, since they started this process in February, that they would have worked their kinks out. And it's still, that's the place where we're seeing delays, and that's in our pension claims.
Mm-hmm. I had one quick question before I go to the U.S. Wings drawing. I see Sergeant Hack is on the line already. The question was from my friend was about how much of my VA benefits will my wife receive after I die? And we talked about this just briefly. Could I get you to go over these the rules just one more time?
So dependency indemnity compensation, or DIC, is the benefit that the VA pays to survivors of veterans who essentially have a different status when they pass away. One, they pay it to those who are killed in action. So this is a benefit that's paid to the military spouses of veterans who actually are killed on active duty mm-hmm. or die on active duty. But then the next class of veterans are those who have service-related disabilities, and they die as a result of a service-related disability. The VA will pay their eligible dependent spouse and children dependency indemnity compensation. Another way that veterans can get or their survivors can get paid DIC is if a veteran is rated 100% permanently and totally disabled, and they have that status for 10 years or more, and they die as a result of a non-service-related disability, their survivor will get DIC. And then, of course, that there's the five and the one rule. The five is a person who retires or just separated from the service and was rated 100% permanently and totally disabled for 5 years mm-hmm. and passes away. His or her spouse will get it even if they die as a result of a non-service-related disability. And, of course, our special category of veterans, and as they should be, are our former POWs. If they were 100% permanently and totally disabled for 1 year prior to their dying, and they die from a non-service-related disability, their surviving spouses will get DIC.
And just real quickly, is there a set amount that's DIC, or is it whatever does the veteran get?
So actually, DIC is a set rate, and I believe the current rate for DIC is $1,277, and then there's an additional amount. So there we get into some other issues called the 8-and-8 rule, which is if a veteran was service-connected at 100% and was permanently and totally disabled for 8 years prior to his or her passing, and that spouse was married to them for those same 8 years, he or she will get an additional benefit on top of the regular rate. So the two rates combine right now to be about $1,551. So it would be $1,277 or $1,551.
All right, and then they get that for the remainder of their lives?
Until and as long as they remain unremarried.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Got it. So there's your answer, Larry. Wanted to make sure we got that out to you. Joining me on the line right now is a good friend of Veterans Radio, and this is Sergeant David Hack, and we're going to be giving away a jacket today. So, Sergeant Hack, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me on again.
It is my pleasure to do that. I guess the first thing we should do probably is to let's give away the first jacket. Could you describe the Top Gun jacket that we're giving away today?
The Top Gun jacket, all the patches that are on that jacket is supplied by the same identical person that supplied the patches on the movie Top Gun 2. The guy is a Navy pilot. His name is Whitey, and those are the real deals. The leather itself is Cape Buffalo. The jacket is handmade, and it is definitely a collector's item.
Well, we're going to be giving away a collector's item here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to see what we can do. I'm going to ask you to give me a number between, let's say, 1 and 600, it looks like.
Okay, I just did. Do you want me?
You can say it out
loud. Everyone will jump up and say, "Hey, I've got it."
No, they don't know their numbers. So, what is the number that you chose?
79.
All right. So I'm looking at the list right now, and I'm going back. Whoops, there, I went past it. 79. Where did he go? 79. Oh, guess what? It's a Navy veteran, and from Temple, Texas. It's Margaret Townsend, and she was in the Navy from 1969 to 1972. And I will get this information out to you, as soon as we can. And I've got a phone number here that we'll give her a call a little bit later and see if I can get a mailing address and so on. So congratulations, Margaret. If you're out there and you're listening, I hope you are. That's what we're doing for you here today. So that's a beautiful jacket. I had my name on there 4 times. Still can't.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, different.
Well, apparently it didn't work.
Yeah, I know. All the different derivations of it. thereof. So anyway, you have another announcement that you wanted to make today on Veterans Radio, and it's another jacket that you're going to be offering through our program every 3 months for the next year. So tell us about that one.
You know, Dale, this is extremely important. The Army, for the past 75 years, has been thinking about coming out with their own jacket. During World War II, the Army Air Corps, Air Force Army, had a jacket. But after the end of the war, 1946, 47, the Army did not have a leather bomber jacket. Well, guess what? They officially do now, and United States made U.S. of A. Cal and U.S. Wings is going to be making as a co-producer that jacket, and they're being made right this second. We're issuing the jackets out there, and if you go to uswings.com, you'll see the jacket. I feel
right on the front.
Very strong about this jacket. 1970, I was on active duty as an Army recruiter. Just got out of the hospital, been in the hospital for a year from combat wounds. And I told the Army then, I says, we need our own jacket. And it took from 1970 till right now, a year ago on Veterans Day, Secretary of the Army, Secretary of Defense signed in the law that the United States Army is going to be issuing the A2 leather bomber jacket.
I think I'm looking at it right now, folks. You can get, don't go away from the program, but you can open up another window here and go to uswings.com. It's right on the front page. It's the authentic Army A2 jacket. And my understanding, as I look at the website, is that you've got a special sale on this jacket also.
Yes, we do. You know, we're selling it for $469 to $529, depending on, you know, the sizing.
Size.
And it depends on if it's a long and so on and so forth. But, you know, that's a special offer. If a person is an Airedale, if a person is in 101st Airborne Division, if a person is with the 82nd Airborne Division, if a person is with a helicopter squad, if a person's special ops, whether it be special forces or ranger, those guys are going to be issued this jacket. Plus, the United States Army Recruiting Command is going to be issued this jacket. And that's phenomenal. Think about that.
I am.
The Army recruiters going out there talking to high school kids or young men and saying, hey, look, this is what you can get if you join the Army. You can get this jacket. And what a sharp-looking jacket it is. Now, let's say if a guy doesn't want to join the military. He says, hey, look, I want to buy that jacket. Well, he can go through U.S. Wings and buy that jacket and wear it with pride because that is a badge of honor. Just think about that. The Army is actually issuing a badge of honor leather bomber jacket.
I like that a lot. It's a lot more comfortable, it looks like, and a lot warmer probably than the flight jackets that we got 50 years ago.
Amen to that. Because 50 years ago, you and I both were on active duty.
That's right. We were. That's right. We were. And
I was at Lye K with the big red one, 1st Infantry Division, 1968 Tet, and that's 50 years ago.
Well, I was out in that area myself, so I know what you mean. I probably flew by and waved at you once or twice.
I didn't wave back, believe me.
No, I know you didn't. You guys kept your head down, which was smart.
But you know what? I tell you what, team. Here's the thing. If you guys want to ask me a question about it, we've got a toll-free number. Call me up. I'll answer any question that you want. But this jacket is truly a badge of honor for the United States Army. A badge of honor. Think about that. You know, 75 years in the making, and now you can wear this jacket with pride while on active duty. I mean, think about it. And just think about the veterans. The guys that served can go out and wear this jacket.
I know. I'm looking at the jacket right now, and I'm seeing if can we get patches put on this jacket?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Vice President of the United States was wearing one of these 2 days ago.
I saw that picture, and I'm going, wait a second.
On his.
I recognize that jacket.
That
is truly awesome.
He was wearing one 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
That is great. This is an authentic Army A2 leather jacket. Of course, made to the middle, to the specifications out there, and you're one of the providers of these jackets. And these jackets are, where are they made?
They are made in two places. They're made in New Jersey, and they're also made in Illinois.
And as far as I know, New Jersey and Illinois are still part of the United States, so they are made in the
yes,
United States
are.
Of America.
They are not an import. They're not a copy. They're not a wannabe deal. These are the real thing.
Well, I'm excited to help you promote these products, and we're going to have a link on our website. In fact, you can go there right now to veteransradio.net, click on the U.S. Wings logo. It'll take you right to the jacket. I think that this is a great opportunity for aviators and anybody who's ever been in the Army, anybody who's been in the military. These are beautiful jackets, and I'm hoping that you'll sell a whole lot of them.
I'm sure I will. I tell you what. This is the only way to go. Duty, honor, pride.
Absolutely. Sergeant David Hack, U.S. Wings, thank you very much for being on our program, and I will be in touch with you with the winner of the Top Gun jacket.
Please do. Tell this young lady that we're going to make the jacket for her. It's going to be custom made, so we need to know her dress size and her height and all this other good stuff, and she will have the real deal.
I just thought of something. That's awesome that these are custom made jackets. I think that's great. If I were to order one of the A2 leather jackets today, could I get it by Christmas?
Yes. And what we need is your height and your weight.
Okay.
Because we just don't say here's a size 44 or a size 36 or 38 or 46. We need to know your height and weight, because when you get this jacket, it's going to fit like it's tailor-made.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, Sarge. Have a great, great Thanksgiving, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Dale. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's Sergeant David Hack from U.S. Wings. Go to their website, uswings.com, and take a look at that authentic Army A2 leather jacket. It's pretty awesome, I must admit. I'm going to have a little GoFundMe account set up so I can get one of those things. We're coming up on the end of the program. I'm getting the signs. We've got 3 minutes or a little bit less than 3 minutes to go. Carol Ann, any final comments from you?
Well, once again, we're out there. Please email us, call us in. We're out there to help you troubleshoot your veterans and what you're entitled to. And once again, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Michael and Dale. And we look forward to next month with our benefits program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carol Ann. And happy Thanksgiving to you and Jim as well. Any comments, Michael?
Well, yeah, I just want to make sure that people know about Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. We have a staff of 6, and of that staff of 6, 4 of us are accredited county veteran service officers. We hold accreditation with the VA's Office of General Counsel. And, you know, we really are in a position, just like General Fasson and Jim, to help veterans navigate what should be an easy system, but it's not. And the reason we all have jobs is to help aid our fellow veterans and guide them through the processes that that are available to them to obtain the benefits that they so rightfully earned. And, yes, again, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and a happy holiday.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're coming up to the end of the program. I want to again congratulate Margaret Townsend of Temple, Texas, for winning the awesome Top Gun jacket. We want to make sure that you go to our website, veteransradio.net. Click on the Buddy donation there. We could use your support. Also, there are many other things on our website to help you out. U.S. Wings, want to thank all of our sponsors. And I think that's about it for the program. We wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving with family and friends. Don't forget to think about the people that are no longer at the table. These are very important to all of us. So until next Sunday, you are dismissed.